The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m., Sunday, November 29th, 2020, Thanksgiving weekend, and thanks for joining us, the Walking Dead World Beyond online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible information or content from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. Welcome to the double episode, first season finale of World Beyond. In addition, the virtual edition of the Chris Hardwick-hosted Talking Dead will air only tonight on AMC Plus for an exclusive episode after World Beyond is over. The episode will have a Christmas holiday special also on Sunday, December 13th. We do not plan to do this show along with that, but I may be watching it on my own power. And later on in my notes, I do have who's going to be on the couch tonight if you do have AMC Plus and you want to watch it. We have some decent tentative ideas when World Beyond Season 2 will come back. The release date, cast, plot, and everything you need to know has not fully been released yet, but they did officially say don't expect World Beyond Season 2 until late 2021 at the earliest. I expect that's going to be because they need time to do the 6 mini-episodes that go with Season 10 of Walking Dead Classic, and then to do the back half of Fear. And then I'm not sure why they wouldn't pick it up. So I'm not sure what they mean by late 2021, because I think that they could probably do it in the summer, but I digress. That's what I know for now. I just wanted to share that. Last week I gave you updates on pretty much most of the franchises, so I'm not going to read the articles, but I will read you the comments that I snipped. So here's an update on the back half of Fear. The expectation is that Fear will air in Q2 2021, following the February 28th start of the 6 new episodes extending The Walking Dead Season 10, which, okay, so if we count 6 episodes of Walking Dead from February 28th being 1, that would put it at April 4th, 2021, with 9 episodes likely wrapping either May 23rd or 30th, depending on if they double up anywhere or not, like, for example, what Walking Dead World Beyond is doing tonight. So that is a rough ballpark. Keep your eyes open at the end of May, and it should proceed from there. Walking Dead Season 10 extra episode sets February premiere date. So this is official word again. The 6 extra episodes of Zombie Apocalypse series will begin airing February 28th at 9 p.m. All 6 episodes will debut early on the AMC streaming service, AMC Plus, Thursday prior to the premiere on Sunday. Guest stars in the new episodes will include, but are not limited to, Robert Patrick, Hilary Burton Morgan, and new co-star Okeya Emeakwari. And Joan, if you care to look this up, I am bothered by the fact that I don't know if I'm pronouncing the name right, and I like to be respectful about these things. This new co-star's name is O-K-E-A, first name. Last name is E-M-E hyphen capital A-K-W-A-R-I. If you happen to be able to poke around the web when you get a moment, see if anybody has a YouTube video or some clip or some way to guide me in respectfully pronouncing that name. I would like to be polite. So I would appreciate it if you're able to look that up and help me out. All right. That was from Variety.com. I've read you guys the article already. I'm not going to do it again. Also, hashtag The Walking Dead will conclude in 2022 with an extended 24-episode, 11th and final season. It really kind of feels like season 10 is turning into season 10 and a half, and season 11 is turning into 11/12, making up for the fact that they're closing up shop. I don't know why they're bothering doing 24 episodes instead of just having a season 12. I don't get this. At any rate, in 2023, Angela Kang, current showrunner, will return to helm a fourth Walking Dead series starring Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride, the Carol and Daryl show. The untitled fourth season will be an episodic Roadshow-style story and might involve prequels for some beloved characters now gone. Does not have a name for that show yet. Since tonight's show is a doubleheader, we will run an hour longer with our show than we normally do until 11 p.m. Eastern Time. The Talking Dead returns tonight on AMC Plus after that, and more on that later. I'm going to pause for the cause and welcome Joan, one of our regulars, who is always helping me and always in the chat, even though I know she gets aggravated with some of these shows, but she's kind enough to come out and hang out with me and keep me off out of trouble, out of jail, I don't know, whatever. Keep me from causing all kinds of problems if I was left here unsupervised. So thank you and welcome, Joan. Always appreciate it. She, in the meanwhile, is half paying attention because she's going to work on that name pronunciation for me because I would like to be nice about it. So she's going to help me out. So typically we start this show a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recaps from the previous episode and discussion of what has come tonight. At 9 p.m. we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together. Then rate the episode so far from 1 to 10, 1 being, oh my God, kill it, 10 being absolutely wonderful and perfect, and we give commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about the show that is presented to us. Call in to speak with the host if you would like at 914-338-0314 at any time during our show, but especially I encourage you between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If you do call during the live episode after 9 p.m., you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, feel free to join us in the live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time as well as go back and download the episode. Pardon my hiccups. Download the episode after the fact, and we post the link every week on our Facebook page and on my social media. So you can go there and listen to us real time, or you can come back later if you're not able to join us, and you can download it as an MP3 or play it directly from the website, whatever you want to do. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. When you get to the link, click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download the episode. Alrighty, tonight's first episode of World Beyond. Fear is off tonight. Remember, last week was the season mid-season finale. So World Beyond doubleheader. First one is episode 9, The Deepest Cut. The official AMC synopsis is, a series of setbacks causes a member of the group to reevaluate their role in the mission. Someone makes a surprising discovery. A startling revelation casts everything in a new light. And as I frequently do, I have additional synopses for you. I got one tonight, because I managed to get one for the next episode as well, so I want to have time to read that. So this one is from a different source than we've often been using. I don't know if it's our regular sources are not quite as quick to review World Beyond. I'm not clear. But this is thereviewgeek.com, and I don't think we've used these guys before. If we have, it wasn't often. So this is by Greg Wheeler. And Greg has to say, episode 9 of The Walking Dead World Beyond begins with Huck driving away from the group as we cut back in time and see flashbacks of Elizabeth and Huck together. This is in one of the trailers, so it's not considered a spoiler because it's official promo materials. The former, being Elizabeth, feeds her and reminds Huck that she needs to, quote, bring the asset. Agreeing to do just that, Huck breaks the news to Elizabeth that she's not alone and that could spell trouble for them later on down the line. Remembering her mission, in the present, Huck intentionally crashes the truck while the others are asleep. With the tires gone, and oddly this website spells them with a Y, so I guess perhaps the website, even though it's .com and not .co or UK or anything, appears to be British, or the writer's British, T-Y-R-E-S. The group bands together, bad editing person, and starts trudging, group band together and start trudging back. This is very effed up English, people. I'm going to correct it to what it should say if you're trying to say that. The group bands together and starts trudging back to the shelter a mile back to regroup and look for supplies. Iris and Hope are worried about Elton and Silas, though, especially given how cold it is outside. Felix believes the truck being trashed is karma for what happened in the past, but before he can elaborate, a group of zombies tied together with barbed wire surround them. Thankfully, they overcome the threat, but Felix sports a pretty nasty gash across his leg. Again, in the trailer, so not a spoiler technically. As flashbacks continue to be interspersed through the series, we can see Felix doing a security clearance back at the camp, something he's been doing for 4 years. And by security clearance, we mean physically checking stuff, not the paperwork that we do in the present day, which is a little bit of a safer activity. While Huck sits opposite him. Wait a minute. I take that back. It may mean that meaning, if he's been doing it for 4 years. He certainly hasn't been on this trip for 4 years. So I guess this must be a flashback they're talking about. I apologize for the confusing writing of this article. I trust you guys can go around the choppy English and figure out what's going on here. Bill Campbell shows too, and here we find out Bill and Felix are together as a couple. Also, part of materials that were out. As the flashes continue, we see the ups and downs of their relationship, including Bill telling him to put his trust in other people and how he loves them. Okay, I am going to abort this article because this absolutely did not give any spoiler warnings, and it is going beyond what's in the trailer and saying things that don't come out till later. So I'm going to abort mission here, if that's all right with you. Jonah said, you end up in jail. I'm not sure it'd be much help, at least not with bail money. I could help you get in touch with my relatives who hopefully could help get me out. I don't know, whatever. All right. Let's go ahead and skip to writers and directors profiles. Tonight's episode 9, is written by Ben Sokolowski and Maya Goldsmith and directed by Sydney Freeland. All right, so Ben Sokolowski is a Canadian television writer. According to his Twitter bio, he is also, quote, a husband and father, an insufferable Toronto sports fan. He received a BFA in screenwriting from University of Southern California in 2006 and currently lives in Los Angeles. He began his career as a production staffer on the J.J. Abrams-produced ABC dramedy What About Brian? He would later go on to work with Abrams a second time on the 2008 science fiction feature Cloverfield as a production assistant. In 2011, he was hired as a story editor on CTV's The Listener. He went on to script one episode called Lady and the Like. He has written for the NBC horror series Fear Itself and the French-Canadian action drama Transport of the Series. Ben has 3 production assistant credits, What About Brian, Cloverfield, and The Listener. He has 4 producer credits, The Flash in 2016, DC's Legends of Tomorrow 2017, and Arrow 2017, and co-executive producer for The Walking Dead World Beyond Season 1. He has 6 writer's credits, Fear Itself in 2008, The Listener in 2011, Transport of the Series 2012, The Flash in 2015, Arrow 2017 and 18, and The Walking Dead World Beyond. Tonight's show is the second work Ben has done in the Walking Dead franchise, the first being writing Season 1, Episode 2, The Blaze of Glory, for Walking Dead World Beyond. He co-wrote both episodes tonight with Maya Goldsmith, who I'll profile in a minute, and the finale, episode 10, that's next, also with Matt Negri. All right. Maya Goldsmith is a producer and writer known for Pretty Little Liars in 2010, How to Get Away with Murder 2014, and Rails and Ties back in 2007. There is no easily found biographical data on her. I have noticed this is a trend lately with World Beyond, and a little bit with Fear, but not much. Significant numbers of their staff don't have any bio data on the web, and I don't necessarily think it's on purpose or that it means anything, but it's mildly disappointing because when you work on a show like this, even if it's having problems, you do get a lot of attention, and it seems really odd that you're kind of sanitized right off the web. It makes people wonder why. It's kind of weird. All right. So, 2008 and 9, she was an assistant to the executive producer for Lipstick Jungle, story editor and executive story editor for Pretty Little Liars 2011 to 2013. Her first writing was Lipstick Jungle, then The Collection, Pretty Little Liars, and How to Get Away with Murder. Goldsmith was a producer for The Collection, Pretty Little Liars, and How to Get Away with Murder. She is a co-executive producer now for World Beyond. Tonight is her second time writing an episode in the Walking Dead franchise, the first being Season 1, Episode 6, Shadow Puppets. She co-wrote both episodes tonight with Ben Sokolowski and the finale also with Matt Negri. Sydney Freeland, director tonight, was born on October 29, 1980 in Gallup, New Mexico. She is also known for her work on Drunk Town's Finest, 2014, Deidre and Lainey Rob a Train in 2017, and Hoverboard back in 2012. Other shows she is known for are Impulse, Chambers, Her Story, Grey's Anatomy, and Heathers, and they mean the TV remake. She has won 6 awards and had 4 additional nominations. Sundance Film Festival 2014 nom for Drunk Town's Finest, 2017 nom for Deidre and Lainey Robert Train. Nashville Film Festival 2014 nom for Drunk Town's Finest. LA Outfest 2014 winner for both HBO Outstanding First Narrative Feature and Outstanding American Narrative Feature for Drunk Town's Finest. Heartland International Film Festival 2014 winner for Narrative Feature for Drunk Town's Finest. Ashland Independent Film Festival 2014 winner of the Gerald Hirschfield ASC Cinematography Award for Narrative Feature. Honorable mention for Drunk Town's Finest. American Indian Film Festival 2014 winner, Best Film for Drunk Town's Finest, nominated for Best Director for Drunk Town's Finest. Albuquerque Film and Music Experience 2014 winner, Jury Award, Best of New Mexico for Drunk Town's Finest. Tonight is her second time working for the Walking Dead franchise in any capacity, the first being directing Season 5, Episode 14 of Fear, today and tomorrow. And let me give them some applause and thanks for working on the show. Oh, this is going to get a little interesting. Joan is attempting to explain to me how to pronounce the co-star's name. And the example she uses is a well-known maker of Swedish furniture that you have to put together, except that I have been taught the way that most Americans pronounce it is incorrect. So what she says is, okay, found both French and English pronunciations of Okia Amy Akwari. They sounded similar, so here goes a try at phonetics. Okia is like IKEA, but with a long O. Now, of course, I was told to pronounce I-K-E-A as Ikea, but I know what you meant. I'm just kind of picking on you and having a giggle. Emi is long E sound, rhymes with seam. Oh, so Eam. So Okia Eam Akwari. Oh, wait. You said middle syllable is stressed, but the ah is capitalized. So I guess it would be Akwari. So, Okia Eam Akwari. I hope that's right. I will try to write that down before we break up for the evening. because I want to get it right next time. All right. Thank you for looking that up, Joan. I appreciate it. It is 8:51, so let's try to get as much as we can get done before we go dark. Trivia about tonight's episode, the first one. It will be the 9th episode of World Beyond overall. First appearance of the character Will Campbell in a flashback. At some point during the apocalypse, Will joined a community called the Campus Colony, a satellite community of the survivor city of Omaha, which was part of the Alliance of the Three. In time, he was appointed a security officer and eventually began a romantic relationship with fellow security officer Felix Carlucci. He was a resident of the Campus Colony until being transferred to a research facility in New York as the head of Dr. Leo Bennett's security detail. He is played by actor Jelani Aladdin. Co-stars tonight will not be announced until after. Uncredited TBA, death TBA, of course. Last episode trivia for The Sky is a Graveyard. First appearance of character Mrs. Plaskett, the flashback of Ruth, of Frank Newton, of Tony, last appearance of Tony Delmato as a corpse, last appearance of Gary Plaskett in flashback. The title of the episode, The Sky is a Graveyard, refers to Iris remembering what Hope had told her about stars in the night sky, specifically how many of them are actually dead but still visible to us due to being millions of light years away. Elton corrects her by pointing out that the stars visible to the naked eye are mostly a couple hundred years, light years away, making it likely that they're still burning. It's revealed that Silas beat his father to death due to snapping when Gary violently abused him. Gary's death was ruled self-defense, which is why Silas never went to prison for it. Silas left the group, and Elton decided to leave and join Silas so that he would know that someone is still believing in him and maybe would eventually find his mother and sister. However, Hope then revealed that she killed his mother and sister. Huck is revealed to be Elizabeth Kubluck's daughter and a spy working for the Civic Republic military. This is the least viewed episode in the entire Walking Dead franchise, and only one of four episodes ever to get fewer than 1 million viewers. The other ones being Mad Men Across the Water, Shadow Puppets, and Truth or Dare. Now it's a little scary, guys. We're starting to lose your mojo. All right, co-stars from last week. Catherine Tabor is Silas's mom. Braxton Majerkin as young Silas Plaskett. Jenny Fawn as Ruth, Silas's helpful neighbor. Robert Palmer Watkins as Lieutenant Frank Newton. Uncredited, nobody was listed. Death, Gary Plaskett, alive and zombified, according to a flashback. Goofs, errors, bloopers, not listed. Cast birthdays this week. It's 8:54, so if we do these, this may take us up to the top of the hour. All right. I am going to do not only the upcoming week, but since this is our last official episode until February, what I'm going to do is November, the remaining birthdays, all of December, and then we will do January and February birthdays in 2021, as well as birthday acknowledgments for cast and crew for whom we have no dates when we return on February 28th, 2021. So I split it up kind of, sort of at the halfway point. All righty, so all the birthdays, and including one, I realized that I am reminded that I have not finished adding all of the cast members yet. And Joan, if you are at all interested, I may be looking for people to help me over our break when they can to continue to add people to the list. Because this, coming up with the birthdays is a project that began quite a long time ago, and I did not really get all of the Walking Dead people on it, never mind the Fear people, and then now never mind the webisode people and the video game people and the World Beyond people. And I've been coughing up links for that, but that's something maybe we can work on to get some more people acknowledged. I bring that up because when I was looking for the Talking Dead stuff tonight, and I was looking on their Facebook page, the very first post that I saw was happy birthday Coleman Domingo yesterday, who is not on my list yet, so I'm very, very sorry. Coleman is super, super fun. He's actually been helping me out. He doesn't know it, but I have a sleep disorder due to some things going on with me, and, you know, it's a long-term thing. And one of the things I do to help myself is I make playlists for me to listen to when I go back to sleep, and I like to hear a lot of talking because it soothes me to hear people talking in normal conversation. It makes me think that everything's fine, because why would they be talking like that if everything wasn't fine? So one of the things I listen to is a playlist put together of all of the episodes of Bottomless Brunch at Coleman's, which is a YouTube series. I think it was originally on AMC, but it's now fully on YouTube. And it's just Coleman having a Zoom with a couple of celebrity buddies, and they get drinks, and they make themselves brunch together, and they have a little chit-chat for a half hour, 45 minutes. And so they're talking about their food, and they're talking about their interesting lives, and it's really kind of neat. I enjoy it very much. So super, super happy birthday. Sorry I didn't get you last week. It's November 28th. So lots of pets for him. All right. Another familiar face we haven't heard from in a long time because his character is gone, but a much appreciated actor from back in the day. Robert Singleton, y'all know him as Irony Singleton. He played Theodore Douglas, otherwise known as T-Dog. His birthday is November 30th tomorrow, and he is from Atlanta. December birthdays, Nadia Hilker, who plays Magna, December 1st. She's from Munich. Stuart Greer, who played Roman, one of the saviors, December 2nd. We don't know where he's from, but he's from the United States. C. Thomas Howell, well-known actor who kind of had a little bit part there and had to sneak it in. Hilltop Resident 1, a guard. His birthday is December 7th, and he's from L.A. Carl Edward McKinnon Jr. played Richard in The Kingdom. December 15th, he's from Queens, New York. Alexander Xander Harper Berkeley, who played Gregory in Hilltop. December 16th, he's from Brooklyn. Emma Jean Bell, who was Amy, Andrea's sister, way back in Walking Dead Classic. December 17th, Union, New Jersey. Heather Laurie Holden, or Laurie Holden, Andrea, December 17th in L.A. Interesting, they share a birthday but not a year, and they're born on opposite coast of the country. Kind of fun. Jeff Kober, who played Joe, the leader of the Claimers, December 18th, he's from Billings, Montana. Ali Aharemi, otherwise a stage name Alec Rame, R-A-Y-M-E, or Ramey, I'm not sure. The Red Jacket Wolf with Carl in Season 6, December 20th, he's from Akron, Ohio. Thomas Tom Payne, who played Jesus in The Hilltop, 21st of December, and he is from Chelmsford. Pardon my American pronunciation, Chelmsford, Essex, England. Yun Sang-yap, otherwise known as Stephen Yun, again, forgive the Americanism. He played Glenn, December 21st, and he's born in Seoul, South Korea. Tracy Thunderbird Dinwiddie played Regina, the savior who split with Jed. December 22nd, she's from Anchorage, Alaska. Michael Raymond James, who played Dave, Season 2, Episode 8, Nebraska Bar, December 24th, and he's from Detroit. Juan Gabriel Pareja, who played Morales, Season 1, Atlanta Camp, December 24th, and he's from Houston, Texas. Terry Sue Tova Felcha, who was Deanna Monroe in Alexandria, December 27th, New York City. And Michael Cutlets, Abraham, December 29th, and he is from Long Island, New York. And again, we'll do January and February birthdays and birthday acknowledgments for people we don't have dates, because we do want to still pet them and appreciate them, when we return on February 28th. Right now, I want to give some birthday applause to the people we did get. And Joan is happy to report that although she understands that her capitalization confused me towards the end of my chit-chat over pronouncing Okea Im Akwari, that is the correct way to say it, and I'm going to need to teach myself to do that right so I can be Palate. All right. Next, it is 9:01. I'm sure the show is on now, so I'm going to shut up, and I'll see you guys at break number one. Not a forum. We're already on our first break. I'm going to go with 5. It's not awful, but it's not compelling really to me yet. Joan, exactly how far did they get with that truck? I don't know if you're being sarcastic. And I may have missed something because I had to keep looking back at the computer for stuff. Joan will let me know what she thinks about that as well as her score in a hot second. So let me go back to my notes while I have a minute here to squeeze some stuff in. Featured music, yes. So that would be from last week's episode, episode 7. Featured music, there were 2 songs that were identified. First one was Fairy Tale remastered by Please. And this is what's playing when Silas listens to music on his headphones at the dinner table. And the other song is Light, L-I-T-E, The Night. N-I-T-E, by Child, C-H-Y-L-D. I guess they're all about the weirdo spellings. And this is the music that Silas's dad plays him on a boombox remembering rock concerts. And so that is that for featured music from last week. All right, unaccounted for characters does not really apply in World Beyond, so we're not doing that. Talking Dead, let me see my notes. Okay. I do have a roster, although, it is on AMC Plus. So it's a 2-hour finale followed by Talking Dead on AMC Plus featuring Aaliyah Royale, Alexa Mansour, Nicholas Cantu, Hal Kumpston, and Nico Tortorella, plus showrunner Matt Negrete. So essentially it's a whole bunch of the main cast members from World Beyond, and they will be on Talking Dead. On the couch this evening. World Beyond Season 2 future lineup. We don't have one. We'll be starting with episode 11, and that's all we know. And we're back. I'll see you guys at break number 2. Commercial break number 2. Joan was at 5. With me the last time is jumped to 5-5. I'm just a 5-2-5. That's kind of interesting. Okay, so let's go back to our comments just a hot second ago. We were joking about the obvious sexual tension in the room because we already know that there was something going on between that other guy and what's-his-face. Shoot, I can't remember this character's name, but, you know, the 2 guys, the military guy and the new guy. Mr. I have degrees in psychology. Back out with all of the walkers tied together with barbed wire. That was super clever. And you got to wonder who did that. And they're fighting and forgetting everything that they used to talk about in Omaha at the college about learning how to kill them. They just screwed it all up. And, okay, so he, not Silas, the other kid, Elton, had a hissy fit, then regretted it. And, well, look who's still alive. Who is still alive? I missed something, and Joan will probably tell me in a second. It says, Huck or Felix? I'm not sure. Oh, yeah. No, I meant Felix when I said that. Felix and the new guy. There's a thing between them, obviously. Let me go back to the notes. I actually have completed the notes for this first episode of World Beyond, but as we often do, we don't get time to talk before the 10 o'clock episode. So I'm going to go ahead and go through them. And so these will be the notes for the following episode, which will wrap up and be the season finale tonight, not even midseason. It's only 10 episodes. Okay, so at 10 o'clock, we will have the season finale of World Beyond, which is Season 1, Episode 10, In This Life. The official AMC synopsis is, a divided group struggles to reunite. Others set their sights on the greater good. And as I mentioned to you guys earlier, I have additional synopses, but only one. And let me pull that one up. So this is from another alternate source that I haven't used much, ReadySteadyCut.com. And this is The Walking Dead World Beyond Season 1, Episode 10, Recap in This Life. And, there's a tag underneath it called Smarty Pants, but it looks like the author, but I don't think so. So I think the author is Jonathan Wilson. And Jonathan says, I'm just making sure we have a commercial before I get started here. Yes. The first season finale of World Beyond, we haven't seen the rest of this current episode, so I'm sort of reluctant. Let me see. Leopold missing his daughter, speculating the openly suspicious Dr. Lila Belshaw that Hope is probably getting into trouble. He's right, of course, that she's presently doing things that are a spoiler. Once again, not using our usual sources, these people run their mouths too much because we know that AMC Plus people get to see this on Thursday, and these guys don't know how to shut the Kentucky Fried fuck up until the rest of us are caught up. So I apologize. I don't have articles for you because I'm not reading that. Way too full of stuff we should not talk about. We're back, and let's talk about that at break number three. Okay, guys, it is 9:27, and we are back for break number three. Joan, I don't know what that was on his arm. Did you ever figure it out? Joan's at 575. I'm not going to stay at 525. I'll go to 55. Percy is still alive. That's what Joan was trying to tell me last break. That's who Elton just found. Iris didn't know what Huck is trying to tell her about Hope trying to go to Omaha. Joan is still trying to work out what Huck is up to, which makes this show at least a little more interesting. I am assuming that Huck was put in there to make sure that Iris and Hope get to their dad and that Felix was not supposed to be part of it. And him being there is a problem because then Huck cannot be honest. But I'm not sure I'm right. That is kind of my guess based on just certain things, how they line up, how they make sense. Okay. I have read you stuff about the extended synopsis, and now we are at writers and directors' profiles. So I mentioned that the following episode, which comes on in half an hour, episode 10, is written by Ben Sokolowski and Maya Goldsmith, who wrote this current episode, plus Matt Negrete, who is the showrunner. Now, Ben Sokolowski and Maya Goldsmith were previously profiled just a little while ago, so let's discuss Matt Negrete while we have a second. All right. There's a trailer for something called Revolution Was Just the Beginning. I'm fuzzy what the heck all that is. Something called a new season called Snowpiercer on TNT. I have no idea what that is. Okay. So, profile for Matt Negrete. Matthew Matt Negrete is an American screenwriter and producer known for his work on shows such as Unfabulous, The Walking Dead, and White Collar. For Disney, he served as a writer, storyboard artist, and executive producer for the Disney Channel animated series American Dragon, Jake Long. He also served as a writer for Kim Possible. Matt has 95 various Walking Dead franchise producer credits, co-executive producer for 42 episodes, 2016 and 19, supervising producer for 16 episodes, 2015 to 16, producer for 16 episodes, 2014 to 15, and co-producer for 16 episodes, 2013 to 14. Doctor Who. Okay. Trying to determine if we are going to be back in a minute, because when they start doing trailers, we usually are. We are back. I will tell you the rest of Matt's profile when we get to break number five. Okay, guys, 9:36. We're at break number 5, and Jonah's at 5:75 again. I'm going to come up there with her, and then I'm going to scoot up here in the chat and try to grab some of our comments. So we're trying to figure out what was on Felix's arm, some kind of sleeve thing, but not sure what it's for, Joan says. And now he has a cut on his leg. He says it's from a barbed wire cut, and it looks like a wire cut at first glance, so she's hoping it's not a bite. Interesting that Percy was shot, though, because Silas didn't have a gun, but Huck does. And Joan says, it feels like Huck may be trying to get rid of the group members that are not needed for her endgame one by one. I actually agree with you. It does seem like that. And I also said, Felix's leg looks like fried shit. And Joan says, when they're talking about the dinner table conversation where Felix's boyfriend is getting security detail up in New York. And Joan says, boy, those girls can read a room. They left that table like it was on fire. And I was trying to figure out what exactly is the ish between Felix and his boyfriend, why there seems to be a problem in their relationship. And Joan says she's not sure, just seems Felix seems to have way too much baggage. Well, you know, we saw the episode about him and his dad, so I guess I can understand. Joan says she's thinking about creeping up to 6 if Elton finds a way out of the mess he got himself into without sacrificing Percy to the empties. Yes, that would be interesting to see if he pulls that off. I am definitely open to waiting to see if that happens. Let's go ahead and go back to Matt Negrete's bio, which we were in the middle of when we had to stop. So Matt also has 25 Walking Dead writer's credits, including tonight, starting with Indifference, Season 4, Episode 4 in 2013. His latest prior work was Season 1, Episode 1, premiere of World Beyond Brave. He was on The Talking Dead in 2017 after Season 7, Episode 12, Say Yes, and he is now the new showrunner for The Walking Dead World Beyond. All right. The director tonight, Magnus Martins. Magnus Martins is from Stord, Norway. There is no biographical information readily available on him. Again, with this seems to be a thing. He has won 3 industry awards for films on which he has worked. The Montreal International Children's Film Festival 2004, Children's Jury Prize for 2003 film United. 2002 prizes at the Mannheim Heidelberg International Film Festival, capital FIPRESCI Prize, and special prize in memoriam R.W. Fassbinder. This, I think, may be in Norwegian. I'm not sure. Capital F-O-R, Folk Flest Bor Ikina, 2002. I don't have any idea what any of that means. I assume it's a film title, and I don't know what it means. He is currently working on a series for 2021 called Furia, F-U-R-I-A. And, no, that's a Google commercial, so we don't have to go back just yet. Tonight's episode is Magnus's 4th time working on any show in the Walking Dead universe. He first directed Fear, Season 4, Episode 4, Buried, and Fear, Season 4, Episode 9, People Like Us, in 2018. He then directed The Walking Dead World Beyond Premiere, Episode 1, Season 1, entitled Brave. So let's give the writers and directors for the next episode also some applause and thank you. It's 9:40, closing up. I'll see you guys at break number 6. Okay, guys, it is 9:47. I'm actually going to go up to 6 based on stuff that Joan has just been saying. So let me go over our comments from the chat. Joan has said, dragging Percy away wasn't my idea of getting himself out of this mess. If anyone on the show has issues, Elton takes the cake at the moment, and he certainly does after that last scene. And she says, how in the hell is that kid still alive? So far, he hasn't shown any survival skills whatsoever. And I was trying to figure out who the hell was on the ground. And apparently, it's Percy. And the talking Percy was all in Elton's imagination. So I'm going to 6. And Joan said she'd go to 6. And so she is. So definitely, at least they're pulling out some of their better material to wrap up the season with. I will give them that at the minimum. Let me see. We were on trivia for the following episodes, 9:48, so it's only going to be in 10 minutes. So I will try to go ahead and get some of this out to you guys because we won't have a break in between. So the next episode will be the 10th episode ever of World Beyond, and we'll mark the halfway point in the 20-episode run of The Walking Dead World Beyond because they already previously committed to locking in that it will only be 20 episodes ever. Co-stars on the next episode are Samantha Lorraine as Young Hope Bennett, and I think she's played her before, and Malia Monet Kellum as Young Iris Bennett, and Jeris, J-E-R-I-S, Donovan as the adoption agent. They don't mention anything about the actor or the character, the adoption agent. They're named, but there's no description page. I assume that there will be a flashback about how Hope and Iris were adopted and something to do with their dad, blah, blah, blah. Uncredited characters, Ron Blake as an injured pedestrian. Death, of course, not yet announced. And trivia, since both episodes air together tonight, there's no reason for me to process further trivia from episode 9, which literally is just airing right now. So you guys don't need me to go over any of that. So we're skipping that. Same thing with the music and same thing with the season 2 lineup. The only other note that I have are upcoming shows on NDB Media. I don't have any of the other usual ones listed except for Wednesday, November 25th, the Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show, episode 98, will be Thankfulness Part 2 of 2. We ran over last time doing our show on thankfulness right before Thanksgiving, so the remainder of that conversation will be on the 25th. And that's the only NBB Media show that I know is confirmed for right now. So that is all of the notes that I had. Joan has said, don't be so sure. AMC schedule list next show after these two World Beyond episodes is starting at 11:24. Oh, God. All right. So likely these will run longer than an hour each, or at least one of them will be extended. That is very possible. But I did commit to wrapping our show at 11, and normally we're supposed to wrap at 10. So me even being on till 11 is honestly a little bit naughty, but I wanted to be able to be here for you guys to discuss the second show. We are back now. I will see you guys at break number 7. Okay, guys, it's 10 o'clock. It appears as if we are going into the next episode shortly. I am ending, if we're ending, at a 6, Joan's at 6:25, but I'm a little fuzzy on that. Let's go back and grab some last comments out of the chat. I'm not entirely sure the show is over for this episode yet, so I'm just going to grab data. I'm prepared that we're not done, basically. Joan has said she thinks Huck, and by extension, CRM lady, Elizabeth may have better match intellectually with Iris and eventually Hope. And then she's like, okay, well, maybe make that just Iris then. And Huck is kind of pissing me off with this double agent bullshit. Joan had thought Iris was the target, but maybe it was Hope after all. Joan is at 6:25. I'm at 6. And Joan said, if so, she missed that, but I'm not sure what that you think you missed. Fuzzy on that one. At any rate, we are still in commercial break, but I'm actually stalling for a second to see if it wraps up and we go straight into the next episode or not. Still a little fuzzy on whether or not we're in a real break or whether the episode's even over. Just kind of floating around trying to figure that stuff out. I never know what's going on. I am just a mushroom. They keep me in the dark and feed me BS. But anyway, at least the season wrapping up is bringing out a little bit better material than they have been doing the rest of the season. Not that that would be horribly difficult. Joan and I have been expressing our thoughts about that pretty much the whole season. So, not really sure. It appears like they're taking a real break, which they almost pretty much never do between episodes. So I'm not really sure what to make of that. I was not necessarily real prepared for that. I'm trying to look over my notes and see if there's anything else that I missed telling you guys. We did all the profiles and the birthdays and the trivia and all of that fun stuff. I think I've covered everything for both episodes, and I didn't want to read all the notes from some of the articles because they were super spoilery. I apologize for that, Stite, because I grabbed sources that looked like they would have stuff we didn't know, and they certainly did have stuff we didn't know, stuff they shouldn't have been telling us. So anyhow, this will be our final episode of The Walking Dead Online Viewing Party until February 28th. I am going to try to work on expanding the birthdays of the cast and crew, and maybe Joan and I can work on the vocabulary thing we had, you know, all the 101 names that people had for zombies and walkers and stuff in this mythos and all kinds of different places. You know, we were working on that. If nobody else is using the time slot for something, maybe we'll slip on in between and do a special edition where we'll read all that stuff to you. You know, maybe catch up the birthdays and give you all the fun names and stuff. Because I've been kind of curious. We've been working on that for a while, and we haven't gotten to read it yet. So, Joan, if you have your notes around. Let's see. Jonah said, at least these characters are remaining true to themselves, unlike another Walking Dead show that shall remain unnamed. And she said, did you catch Talking Dead last week? Another Brit in the franchise I didn't know was a Brit, the actor who plays Silas. No, I didn't catch all of it. I didn't catch that. And we are back, so I'll shut up. Break number 7. Okay. We are actually into the episode 10 now, and Joan has said she is, her ending score is going to be definitely 6, 7, 5, although she was kind of leaning towards a 7. I am going to stay with my 6, like I said, I think. Jonah says, at least I was right about Huck being the one that shot Percy. Yes, you were. And likely killed his Uncle Tony. Possible, yeah. I bet Silas found him reanimated and put him down the same way he did his father. Also possible. And, oh, damn, Hope deciphered the code. And all 4 expendable. Jones opening on a 6. I'm going to open on a 6 as well. And Joan takes back every doubt that she mentioned earlier when she implied that Hope was drinking the Kool-Aid, thinking that Iris was the smarter one. Yes, Hope is smart in that she's able to cover stuff like that up. I mean, look how she was covering up that she killed Elton's parents, or mom and baby sister. So she's got it in her. Not so much like she's evil and a liar, but more like she definitely has her subterfuge game on. So, you know, I think that infers something. I'm watching this Best Christmas Ever Four Christmases show. I'm not sure what the hell's up with that. All right, we are back. I'll see you guys at break number 2. Okay, guys, 10:20, break number 2. I am with Joan in that I'm going up to 625 as well. Joan has also pointed out before the break that Hope was also the one that read a damn book and figured out how to make champagne from said book. And never should have doubted anybody who could make booze after reading one book. Once again, Hope is protecting Iris from the unpleasant truth, as misguided as that is. Yes. And I really wish Hope would just shoot Huck and be done. I'm really just done with the character, and I want her to go away. And I want that to be a lesson to CRM, because I want CRM to suffer. Because I'm still mad at them. Now, I kind of expect that things are finally going to start being useful, because I honestly haven't felt any compelling reason to do any of this crap except how it might tie into finding Rick. And I'm assuming Rick got taken to New York, because they have kept implying that the whole reason they bothered doing this show was to tie all three shows together with CRM. Jonah said, I'm not quite done yet with Huck. Kind of liking the mind game she's willing to play makes her a stronger villain in my mind. Doesn't make me like her per se, but okay. I'm tired of them. But it's okay that we don't necessarily want the same things out of the show or at the same time. That happens frequently, and there's nothing wrong with it. So this is all fine and well. Trying to keep an eye on going back from the commercials. I don't really have anything else to read you guys in between. That's a portion of my problem. But anyhow, just trying to see how this all fits together. I don't know. I'm kind of done with Huck, because she hasn't shown me anything that's all that compelling as a villain. So I don't know. Maybe there's something else that they need to reveal to make this a little more interesting for me. To me, it's too cut and dry right now, to be honest with you. But we shall see. At least they're picking up the pace and they're finally earning some attention, which they certainly haven't been doing as much as they should have earlier in the season. So I can't say I'm sorry about that going on, at the very minimum. I'm certainly happy for that part. Just kind of wait, because I keep seeing things going on that make me think we're back, and we're not quite back. But it's trailers for other shows that I don't really understand or know about. This one's all really super weird. It's kind of foreign druggy stuff, LTS, illegal firearms, steroids, all kinds of stuff. Trafficked with Mariana Vanzella, new series on Wednesday on Nat Geo. And now we're in a Chicken Wars commercial. Okay. I give up. I surrender. Alrighty. I don't know what to make of all that stuff. That's fine. Whatever. Let's see what Joan has to say. She says, there are only supposed to be two seasons of the show. And yes, it's supposed to be the bridge between current shows and Rick movies per conversation on Talking Dead. Don't remember when. Yeah, and Talking Dead's not the only place that's been brought up. Joan likes that she didn't know or suspect Huck was the bad guy earlier. That plot twist worked for her. Okay. I was going to say I thought I knew, but I'm not sure that's necessarily true. All right, we're back. I'll shut up. See you guys at break number 3, 4, one of those. Bye. All right, I am with Joan at 6:05. Commentary in between. Joan, no, she knows something she ain't telling Daddy Dearest. And now Joan is getting suck of Huck right now, the CRM holier-than-thou attitude. Yeah. I kind of wondering, like, if Hope's ability to learn things means that she might actually be capable of assisting them with a cure. Because remember the after party scene a couple weeks ago with that weird doctor experimenting on them. And remember that we found out what Jadis used to be talking about. Do you have an A or a B? And one of them is a potential useful leader, and the other one is somebody who has been bit but is still alive because they were going to experiment on them. We did find that part out. And I have a feeling it relates to the lab that this all leads to up in New York. So, I'm so sorry that I'm sure of what any of this is going on. There are two speakers, one of yours. Oh, hi, Purple Pill. I don't know who you are, but welcome. So not that I have any idea what exactly is going to go on with that plot line, but I've really just about had enough of Huck. And I've kind of had enough of the whole CRM preachy bullshit on top of it. So I'm not really sure where we're going to go with that per se. Joan has mentioned that the whole "you have no idea who you are" comment caught her attention, especially since she was adopted. She could be anybody. Now, okay, that's actually a very good thought that had not just occurred to me. I wonder if her birth parents are somebody big or important to CRM in some way. There have been zero spoilers about her actual lineage. So I don't know if that's going to be relevant or not, but that's a very good point. And, you know, there may be some meat and potatoes to that. So, you know, maybe we'll find out more about that. I know this is going to run over. It's 10:35 now, so we will be going down at 11. I know the show's going to run on after because that's what they've been doing every week, especially because this is going to be the season finale. So I'm assuming something tonight will be a little cookie for season two about Hope's parentage. Original parentage, and maybe it has something to do with CRM. Maybe she has experimental lineage of some sort. Maybe they tried something out on her. I don't really know. She was born early enough where I don't think that's likely. I don't think she was an infant before everything went to hell. So we'll kind of see. Purple Pill, if you want to weigh in, we have a new user in there. Let's give them a big welcome. Thank you. We are on a commercial break from Walking Dead Live, and so we're talking about the show in between. We're right now in the middle of Walking Dead World Beyond, the season finale for season one. Purple Pill has given up and left the conversation. That's fine. Whatever. All righty. We have a trailer for something really scary on AMC Plus. So, yes, I am correct. We are going back. I'll see you guys at break number four. Okay, 10:48. I'm going to stay at 6.5 as well. And going back to grab a couple of Joan's comments, she says, Huck talks like she tried to run once or twice. They always find you. Yeah, I figured pretty much everybody who's under CRM's thumb is like that. And Joan's like, yep, that's a clutch. She's learning to drive all right. And when I said earlier, is Huck her real mom? No, I know Elizabeth is Huck's mom, but not sure about Huck and Hope. I just a thought, because she was saying weird things about moms. I don't know if she meant Elizabeth, or whether that's the weird connection, I don't know. But we're at 6.5. I have to be honest with you guys. Being that it's 10:48, I'm not sure when the next break will be, and it won't be the end of the show. So I either may be signing off soon, or I may be signing off when we get to the next break, because there really isn't too much else that I can get into talking about for the moment. But we are definitely looking at an improvement to the show for at least the ending and the wrap-up. And if you remember what I mentioned earlier, I don't think that we are going to be back for season two until well into 2021. Number one, because I think with quarantine, they're going to have difficulty filming the rest of it, because they'd already started filming the other stuff earlier. You know, you have to film it with the raw footage and then take it back and fix everything in post. You know, big cliche. So they hadn't had an opportunity to do that for season two yet. So it's going to take them a while to put it together. Jonah's commented that she took the mom comment to be about Elizabeth, since Huck's cover story with the campus was that her mother was dead. Oh, yes, good point, which isn't true. It was almost like she was half confessing she lied about her mother being dead. Well, yeah, she definitely was. Okay, that's fair. That's a good way to look at it. I feel like there's another punchline coming about Hope's actual lineage, because all the stuff that they're overplaying, okay, she took some things apart with chips and being gifted. Now, I'm going to confess, I may be poo-pooing this because I grew up as a gifted child. I was around this a lot. But what he described Hope doing is not stop the presses, some kind of rare-ass thing that is so amazing that CRM needs to do this and that and the other. Just, they're making it much bigger than is necessary. It's unusual, and it's gifted, but it's not one of a kind, and it's not that damn rare. And it's kind of like, have any of the writers ever been to a gifted and talented curricula? Clearly not. So I'm not sure what to make of all that yet. And it also does seem like Iris knows things too, so whatever. Considering who their dad was, I think they ought to take that more into consideration. And what he's going to do if they don't show up with both daughters. So I don't know. You know, maybe some of this will come up before the end of the evening. Probably, I tell you what, Joan, I'm kind of making an executive decision now. I think that after this commercial break, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up and sign off, because there's really not too much else to get into, because they're going to bleed over past the time when I'm going to end up signing off anyway. So I think that this will be the end of our talking. All right, and we're going to go back now. So I'm going to wrap it up for this evening. I want to say thank you for joining me, and watch our Facebook page for more information about possibly sneaking in an episode or two to talk about forgotten extended birthdays and the names for walkers and all that other stuff. So, alrighty. Thank you for joining me. Take care.